Beautiful, isn't it? Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra. Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals for the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. With the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas, check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.
God be glory.
God be the glory, great things He has done. For the glory of the world that He gave us His Son, who healed and pardoned and atoned for sin, and opened the light gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Over the redemption of virgins of blood, to every believer the promise of God. Of vilest offenders who truly obey, that moment may enter the heavenly way. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Look round through the Father, through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Great things He has taught us, great things He has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. A nearer and higher and greater will be our wonder of transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done.
morning, Brother Ken. This is Brother Ken. Brother Ken has been studying with us and taking college level courses, and we are nominating him to set him apart as a student minister to the homeless. And so if anybody has any objection to him being a student minister to the homeless here, you need to go to him and talk to him about it, tell him what your objection is over the next 2 weeks. 2 weeks from now, God willing, we intend to do that. He's a fine man. He has my confidence and Williams, too. And so God bless you, Brother Ken. Yeah. Anybody wants to talk to him? Well, he's a product of William's class, and William just keeps making more fruit like we're supposed to do. We'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We're an inner-city congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor. We have two missionaries. I want to ask y'all again to pray for them. They are right now in a foreign country, and they are in danger. Today is prayer day for the persecuted in Korea. And so we want to make sure that, let's pray for the persecuted church everywhere, not just in Korea. Next Sunday, the Landmark Church of Christ will bring packages for the homeless and for the poor. So those of you that are part of Know the Homeless and Poor, and people tell them, be sure to be here next week, that Landmark will have packages and gift packages for them. Brother Rick, our janitor, has got congestive heart failure. He's over here in Baylor in 1104 of the Roberts Building. And Sister Carol Pauline, a lady missionary of ours, is in Baylor also and has had brain surgery. And so we want to have prayer for them this morning. And then we have a youth movement going on here. William is going to become the full-time preacher the first of next year. I'm going to preach with him every other week up until then. And by that time, I'll have all the lessons that I need to have in the on the website. And so we're going to try to get a new young voice on the radio that we can start trying to draw young people here. Y'all, we want to ask that you go to the Father with us in prayer now, please. Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank you, Father, for your dear love and your mercy and your grace upon us all. We pray for thy missionaries throughout the world and thy church throughout the world that's under persecution and has a heavy foot of persecution on them today. We pray that you protect our missionaries and keep them safe from the radicals and the revolutionaries in the areas where they're at and from non-believers. And we pray that they have a fruitful message and they're able to teach those preachers there and do many wonderful things with them. Thank you, Father, for Ken and sending him to us. And we pray that you'll bless him and his ministry and he'll be greatly, mightily fruitful. We pray for Rick and thank you for sparing him and Carol Pauline. And we pray that you continue to bless them and heal them and raise them up. Thank you for all that you've done for Eric. We want to thank you, Father, for sending William to us and sending a new generation. So we pray that you mightily take your church in your own hands and do mighty things with it here, we pray. In Jesus' name, forgive our sins. Amen. So welcome again our worldwide radio audience to the worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We'd ask that you go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Brother Lee.
All right. Well, good morning, church. It is a great honor and privilege to be here, to be with you. And thank you, Brother Kelly, for what you had to say. And if I could add just a little bit about Kenneth and brag on him just for a minute. Kenneth has been coming for about a year now. In the past 6 months, he's been helping me downstairs, in a sense, co-teaching. And Kenneth has natural abilities as a preacher and a teacher, and he has the respect of the community, and I just think the world of him. And it's kind of neat. We had a conversation maybe a month ago, and he mentioned to me, he said, you know, William, I was actually here from the beginning. And so that would have been 3 years ago when we first started this Bible class, and I had no idea that he had been coming from the beginning, and pretty much every face that comes through that Bible class, I remember. I'm pretty good about that, but for whatever reason, his identity was concealed from me. I didn't remember him. And at that time, I think he had a large beard, and he was real quiet, and he sat in the back, and he, you know, was going through some struggles and addiction and different things, which now God has powerfully delivered him. But how amazing it is to think that those who sit in the back, those who are quiet, who don't talk, God can take those individuals and they can be listening, they can be encouraged by God's word, and he can completely transform their lives and then allow them to be leaders and even preachers and teachers. And so it's really an incredible thing, and I think it really should be an encouragement to all of us, and I just feel that he's qualified and that God is going to bless him powerfully at this church. And I hope that you'll pray for him and that you'll get behind his ministry and encourage him. So this morning, we're going to take a look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And before we do that, I want to go to prayer one more time and ask God's favor on this time. So please pray with me and let's ask God's favor upon us. And so, Father, we just come before you very boldly into your presence. In the name that you've given us, in the name of Jesus Christ, we trust in our Passover lamb that he died in our place. And because of that, Father, we can have his righteousness. We can have confidence to come into your very presence, Father, and that we can worship you, Father, and that we can be filled with your Spirit. We can have understanding of you, Father, and we can receive your blessing and grace and favor. And so, Father, we're crying out for mercy and help. There's no end to the need. There's no end to the brokenness, Father, the problems that we're faced with all around. And so, Father, we confess that you have an answer to all of those problems. And we want to trust you. We want to draw near. We want to do our part, Father, in order that we might just receive your grace and your blessing and your power. Father, would you let the light of your face shine upon us, Father, your favor, that it might shine upon this congregation, that we might do the impossible through the eyes of men and through the eyes of the flesh. Father, we don't stand a chance, but with you, we can do wonderful, amazing things and alter history and just change the moral fabric of this community. And so, Father, we look to faith to you. We pray that you would bless the preaching of your word. Give me strength to relate these awesome truths. And may you be glorified in this time. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. I very much appreciate Brother Kelly's kind words regarding me. In so many ways, he's been like a spiritual father. I had the opportunity to live with him for a year, and we built just an amazing, intimate relationship, and I think the world of him. And I am overwhelmed by the way he's treated me with such kindness and the favor and the grace that he's given to me. And the fact that he believes in me, and he's encouraging me to take up, in a sense, his mantle, and to build this church, and to cause this church to grow through God's strength. And with that kind of in mind, I'd like to look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42. I can't think of a better text as we consider this whole concept of this need of the church to be alive and vibrant and grow and to make an impact upon society. And so I want us to turn over to Acts 2, 42 and following. Let me begin with a little bit of background here. And so the disciples of Jesus, they were instructed to wait in Jerusalem for the promised Holy Spirit. And then we understand on the day of Pentecost, they received with power, they were clothed with power from on high, they received this Spirit. And then we understand that these uneducated, ordinary fishermen who had been with Jesus, they begin to witness with great power and clarity and authority about the good news of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. And as a result, we see that 3,000 souls were added in a single day. And what a demonstration of God's power that in one day, a megachurch was established of 3,000 new Christians. This is pretty incredible. And then we come to Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and following, and we receive a portrait, an image, if you will, of what this church looked like. And so as we consider our calling, as we want to define our goals, we want to define our purpose here at the Main Street Church of Christ, we passionately would consider ourselves part of the restoration movement. And this is the entire idea. We don't want to reform a broken, existing church. We want to restore the church. We want to go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and following. And in that, that is where we have authority, and that's where we have power, and we can expect a similar blessing from God. And so please follow along with me as we read beginning in verse 42. The Bible tells us they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so as we view this awesome text, as we view this early primitive church, we see Christ's body in all of its beauty and glory. And in Ephesians, as Paul speaks about the church, he says this is the manifold wisdom of God. The sense is that the church is the means by which God shows His glory to the world. In other words, when those on the outside, when they look upon the church, they see the reflection of the glory of God. We are the body of Christ. And when we are healthy and functioning together according to this biblical pattern, those from the outside are able to see Christ's beauty. They're able to see a revelation of who God is. And also we might note and put this warning in there, if it is not the church in Acts that we are following, people are not able to see Jesus Christ. It's convoluted. There's a cloud. There's a veil. Their vision is obscured if we are not following according to the pattern which is given us from God in His holy word. So our witness and our success in displaying God's glory is dependent upon our ability to follow and pattern ourselves after this church that we just read. That is the goal. And it's very clear to define that and make that apparent. This is the vision that is cast before this church. To the degree that we follow this church, we can seek blessing, and we can seek to grow and prosper and change history and affect this society. And also, if we're not able to achieve this, we should not expect God's blessing. And so this morning, I'd like us to, there's so many different ways we could take this passage and we could spend so much time here, but I'd like us to simply zoom out for a minute and consider Acts 42 and following as a whole. And as we look at this as a whole, we see a pure church. We see a vibrant church. We see a church that is on fire, an on fire Christianity. This is a dynamic church that is full of zeal and religious excitement. This is a group of people who, without a doubt, they have maintained their first love for Jesus Christ. They are so cut to the heart. They are so in awe of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are overflowing with the love, and it is expressing itself in this continual worship of God. They can't get enough of the Word of God. They can't get enough of the fellowship. They can't be driven out of the household of God. They are so in love for both God and brother, and that is what we see in this Acts 2:42 church. This is God's idea of what church is to look like. Men have plenty of ideas. We create our own concepts based on tradition and creeds and all different things of what church looks like. But if you want to know what God's intention for the church is, this is what He has in view. This is the church that Christ spilt His blood for. This is the church that Jesus died and was buried and rose again for. And this is the church that we seek to emulate and to follow and to pattern ourselves after. And so this morning, I want us to look here at the second part of verse 47. And so as a result of this vibrant, lively, Spirit-filled church, we read this most awesome and wonderful statement in the middle part of verse 47. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And as we read earlier, that awe came on every single soul that saw the miracles that were done by the hands of the apostles. Yet, when we read this scripture, we might find still a greater miracle in verse 47, the very fact that God is adding to the church daily those who are being saved. This is incredible. This is fantastic. Not yearly, not monthly, but daily. God is adding to the church those who are being saved. People are truly being converted. They're truly being born again. And any church leader, any preacher, any elder, any evangelist, any concerned church member, lay person who reads these verses and particularly falls upon the second part of verse 47 cannot help but have a sense of awe and amazement and a longing that God might do the very same thing for us, that we might look closer to this, that we might experience this type of growth in the church today, because we understand that the same God is on His throne and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so as we just reflect on this further, I've been a part of several churches during my life, and some of which that were extremely large and had great reputations for being alive. And yet, interesting enough, there were almost no baptisms outside of children of the church members. And in many ways, this is pretty typical of most churches within the United States. It's real easy to get a Church of Christ member to jump churches and to become a part of your church, but very rarely do we see this type of church that has the power and the blessing of God to make new converts. This is something that is pretty remarkable. And at this point, as we weigh the difference between the experience of this Acts 2 church and our own experience, you don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to be a doctor of religion. It's not difficult, upon examination of the Scripture, to come to the conclusion that what is experienced among our churches in relation to growth, this whole concept of the Lord adding daily, is completely opposite. And let me just say that again, that it might set in. Our experience in the United States among Christians is many times completely opposite from what we read in Acts 2:42. And this, as I see it, is a serious problem. There's two ways that we can address this, and there's two ways that people generally try to lessen this chasm. Number one, we can ignore this church in Acts 2:42, and we can explain it away. We can redefine Christianity, and we can make new goals and new expectations, and you'd be surprised at how many countless people choose this first path, and this is simply not a church that I would want to be a part of. This is not a healthy way to interpret this particular passage. The second way we can look at this, and this is the one that would be recommended and advised, we can fix the problem. We can humble ourselves, going to God on bended knees and seeking answers from His Word. And what a better text to start with than Acts 2:42 and following, and to examine this Scripture. What is the secret to their life? What is the secret to their power? What is the secret to their growth? And then seek to do that very same thing and pattern ourselves. The Bible talks very much about following in the footsteps of Jesus, following in the footsteps of Paul. And we too are called as Christians today to follow in the footsteps of the church that we read in Acts. And we should have faith that we can experience God's favor and His blessing today. Consider this concept. Growth. Growth is associated with health. For instance, you have a child, and they have a healthy appetite. They eat their vegetables, they eat their food, and consequently, as a result, they grow. Growth is associated with health. A plant that's situated in a good location, gets plenty of sunlight, gets plenty of good soil, it is going to grow. Healthy plants grow. A business that is healthy, it is going to grow. And a church that is healthy, consequently, it can't help but grow. It can't help but increase in numbers. And so growth is associated to health. And so this church that we're reading about in the book of Acts is a church that is on fire for the Lord, and they are witnessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the growth comes natural. It is something that just simply comes as a result of this church being in a right biblical framework. It is the natural blessing and the result of being within God's graces. Also consider this, fruit equates to health. And this is pretty plain common sense. A fruit tree that is strong is going to produce fruit naturally. In the very same way, a Christian that is healthy is going to produce fruit naturally. It's what Christians do. Fruit trees produce fruit by nature. They don't have to think about it. They don't have to stress about it. It's something that happens in a normal, healthy condition. In the same way, someone who is truly a disciple of Jesus Christ is going to produce fruit under the favor and the blessing of the Lord. I'd love to spend more time on this concept, and the Lord added to their number daily. This is indicating the favor and the blessing of God. And so picture with me that fruit tree, maybe a favorite orchard that you like to go to. There's an orchard out in Terrell, Ham's orchard, and there's nothing like seeing a peach tree that is way down and the branches just about to break because of the abundance of the fruit that is being produced in them. In the same way, this is a picture of the gospel. This is a picture of the church. This is a picture of the healthy, strong, normal Christian. And so Jesus gives a parable to answer these questions. I don't think that I could find a better parallel passage to answer these questions. Why does the church not grow? And what is necessary for the church to grow and to be alive and be vibrant? Look, if you will, in Matthew chapter 13. We're going to begin in verse 18. And this is what has been called the parable of the sower. I'm going to pick up here, chapter 13, verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who receives the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. And so Jesus here is speaking in an individual sense, speaking of an individual believer, an individual Christian, and it's only natural that we might broaden this concept to speak about churches. And here within these passages, within these verses, we have the answer to our problem. Why the church is not growing and what it would take for the church to grow. Very plainly here, the reason why this Christian is not producing fruit is that the ground is too hard. You can't grow things in hard soil. And this represents the heart of man. The reason why the church in the United States of America is not growing is because our hearts are too hard. God has got to soften our hearts. The second reason is that the soil is too shallow. We can't grow crops. God cannot work with shallow believers. He cannot add increase when there is shallow soil. And so this is the second reason. And then my favorite of the three reasons, which I think squarely represents the indictment of our day, is the fact that there are too many weeds. Has anybody ever tried to grow a garden in the middle of weeds? It's not going to happen. The plants are not going to grow in the same way. The reason that the church is not growing like it was in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, is that there's too many weeds. We can't have a productive, growing, vibrant church when there are weeds. And clearly here, this represents the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it and making it unfruitful. And so the secret here, in the words of Jesus, is that this church in Acts chapter 2 was a church which was planted. Individuals were planted on good soil. And notice the wonder and the glory of what is said by Jesus. 160, 30 times what was sown. This is a parallel concept, an idea that directly associates to this church that we read about in Acts. And so as we answer this question, why is the church not growing? It'd be very easy to go and look at a whole host of different answers. We could pick numerous church growth books that would point to the idea that we need to be more seeker-sensitive. We need to be more attractional. And what they would point to is that we need to be more attractional in the sense of a more fleshly attractional. And it's not about attracting numbers. McDonald's gets a lot of people. They attract a great number of millions and millions of people, and they attract according to the flesh. The Cowboys attract a great number of people, but we're looking to attract people based on biblical principles, and the answer is found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, 42 and following. And reflect on this as we continue. The simple fact of the matter is that the Lord is not going to add to an unhealthy church. It's simply not going to happen. The Lord makes it plain that a lukewarm church, like the one we see in Revelation chapter 3, 14 and following, is more of a liability through the Lord's standards than an asset. And He's not going to bless a church like that, nor is He going to give them converts. God is not going to give new converts. He's not going to give an increase to an unhealthy church any more than we would condone giving children to immature parents. What a disaster to think about an immature man, an immature woman receiving all of these children. God has to have mature, strong, spiritually vibrant churches in order to parent new offspring. And so here we see our work is cut out for us. And many times we underestimate this awesome stewardship of receiving spiritual offspring. And there's many things that come before the outpouring of God's blessing. We don't want to put the cart before the horse. God wants us, as Brother Eric was pointing out earlier in Bible class, He wants us to remove the plank out of our eye. He wants us to be healthy and strong and spiritually alive in order that we might care for the needs of new converts. And so we underestimate, like has been said, this awesome stewardship. And we need to be very careful what we ask for. If Paul, who was a spiritual giant, a father in the faith, if he had difficulty in rearing spiritual offspring, I think we too need to be humble, and we need to understand that we need God's strength. We need the power of God upon our lives in order to receive and to if we have any hope of producing spiritual offspring and keeping them saved. And so as we consider some of the big ideas that are put forward here, as we survey Acts chapter 2, 42 and following, this image of this church, imagine this. If you received an invitation to go visit this church, what an awesome experience as you were to see this church that was in love with the Lord Jesus. They were giving themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the breaking of bread and to the fellowship and to prayer. They were devoting themselves to worshiping God, making great sacrifices, even selling their own belongings in order that others might live and prosper and live a happy life. What an amazing thing to receive an invitation and to witness these things. What a beautiful attraction this would be. And then on the flip side, by way of reference, what if you received an invitation to the church in Laodicea? What would you see? You would see something completely different, something completely opposite, something strange. You would see a group of half-hearted, lukewarm Christians. And I want to put this question before us. Which church would you want to attend if you had a choice? Do you want to attend the church in Acts, or do you want to attend the church in Laodicea, the Jerusalem church or the Laodicean church? And so clearly here, the Lord is saying, as we seek on bended knee and we cry out to Him and we want to give whatever it takes, we want to pay that high price for building a church, glorifying God, doing His work here, clearly here, how beneficial it is for us to catch the fire ourselves, to be this exciting, vibrant, Spirit-filled church that's full of the love of God. How much more success will we have when we go out to this community, which is something that God is calling us to do, to get to the streets, to knock on doors, to witness. We want to invite people to a group of people that are crazy about Jesus. And when people come and they witness this Acts 2 church, it is apparent that they have to make a decision. they can say for sure that these people believe what they preach and they act it out. They don't just talk about high Christian truths and concepts, but they live these things, and it's evident in their life by their love, by their sacrifice, by their spiritual riches that they possess. This is an experience which they have, and I want what they have. And so it is a spiritual attraction that God is going to bless. And consider this idea. If there were only 10 people, let's say there were only a handful of people who were truly to practice church God's way, who were truly going to practice church according to Acts chapter 2, this church of Christ which meets in Jerusalem, how incredible God is going to bless that. It is impossible to fail. If we can produce this church, if we can follow in their footsteps, if we can just have a handful of coals that are on fire, they are naturally going to span into flame this great Christian movement, and by nature, they are going to cause growth and outward strength and blessing to this entire neighborhood. And so it's not just witnessing. This is the other point that I think is clear in Acts 2. Yes, the apostles were witnessing with great boldness and power publicly, heralding the gospel of Jesus Christ in the public place, lifting Christ up, and that is very important. But there has to be, at the same time, there needs to be a church to back up, to live out the preaching of the Word. For instance, if we are going to go out and we're going to invite people to come to this great, wonderful banquet, this feast of just epic proportions, would it not also make sense that there would be food on the table when those people came? And so in the same way as we consider this passage, God is expecting us to practice what we preach. And if we can achieve, and if we can look like this church in Acts, clearly this is going to be attractive. And so consider this idea of attraction. When you go for a job interview, would it not make sense that you would put on clean clothes, that you would try to look professional? Would it not make sense that you would iron your shirt and you would polish your shoes? Why do we do this? We're interested in first impressions. And once more, I want to bring this up again. When we go out and we labor and we put ourselves out there and we invite people to come into the house of God, we want to look like the church in Jerusalem in its pure primitive form, rather than the church in Laodicea. And sadly, so many churches in this country look more like the church in Laodicea. We want people to, when they come here, they see a people that cry out to the Lord, that praise Him, that love Jesus Christ, can't get enough of His Word, love one another, and are practicing this pure form of Christianity. And if people were to see this, once again, if there were just 10 of us, if there were just a handful of people practicing this type of dynamic Christianity, there are going to be countless people that say, I want to be a part of this church. I want to join this church. And it doesn't matter if there were 1,000 people across the street that practiced Laodicean Christianity. I don't care what they're doing. I want to be a part of the 10 that know the Lord and are experiencing this pure, vibrant religion. And so here we have a clear path that is put before us, God's way of building a church, God's way of making an impact upon our society. If we catch this Acts 2 Jerusalem fire and we become this dynamic church, though it's just a handful of people, the promise of Jesus Christ stands today as it did yesterday, that God will increase our number 160, 30 times what was sown. We have this promise in the Word of God. If we can become this healthy church, God will bless us the same way. Laodicean Christianity, lukewarm Christianity, makes little impact upon our culture, makes little impact upon our society. Look at the influence of the church today. We are losing this country. Day by day, we are becoming more worldly. You answer the question, is the salt doing its job? I say we're definitely falling short in this regard. What's the good of salt that has lost its savor, regardless of how much of it that you have? It's pointless. We need to revive pure religion. We need the restoration movement. We need to return back to our roots more than ever. And it's this Acts 2 church, by contrast, that shakes nations. This Acts 2 church, this vibrant Christianity, on fire Christianity, it is the type of Christianity that shakes nations. It transforms the moral climate of communities. It's done it countless times throughout history because it's God's way. It receives God's blessing, and there is a great impact. Consider this concept and this idea. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to town, people knew about it. They felt His influence. When Jesus Christ came, He didn't just make a tiny splash. He made this tidal wave of influence. He influenced culture. Everybody knew that Jesus Christ had come to town. When Paul traveled around, one singular man, he could turn a whole city upside down. He could transform entire cultures because he was a healthy, true, biblical Christian under the blessing of God. And in the same way, if this Acts 2 church is in your neighborhood, you are going to know about it. If this church, which we read about, if the things that take place in Acts 2, 42 and following, are taking place, if people are practicing those things, if people catch this type of fire, everybody is going to know about it. The Laodicean church, they could worship countless Sundays and no one would ever feel their impact because they've lost their saltiness. But the Acts 2 church, their presence will be felt and they will transform the community for the glory of God. And so, once again, we're put forward this very simple and plain question here. How do we grow the church? How do we receive this blessing of the Lord, which we read about in verse 47? And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Jesus has already answered this in the parable of the sower. We need to get rid of the weeds. We need to draw near to the Lord. We need to get in this good soil, and we need to allow God to work in our lives. We need a total commitment to Jesus Christ. We need to pattern ourselves like this church we read about in the Bible. And if we do this, we will see a similar blessing. The secret of this church, as we've already stated, is very plain. These people were in awe of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. They were just taken back by the greatness of the gospel, this demonstration of love, that Jesus Christ became poor to make many rich, that He lived a perfect life, that no one ever taught like this man, that He bore our sins on the cross, that He drank that bitter cup, that He was crushed under the judgment of God in our place, that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day, and He offers full salvation to the world to whosoever will come to him. And this is the image that we need to have set before us. We need to have this first love. We need to be on fire for Jesus Christ. If we can love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, if we can capture this dynamic Christianity, it is literally impossible for us to fail. It is literally impossible for us not to have the favor and the blessing of God. And so as we look out at our needs, as we look out at the weakness of the church, as we look out countless problems that reach the heavens, it is very plain that we have a sovereign God who sits on his throne. He is both willing and he is completely able to solve the problems just like he was in those days. The problem lies with us. It's the type of heart, it's the condition of the heart. Are we willing to be like this church and to make this type of commitment for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we willing to lay our lives down like our Savior and follow in his footsteps? If we do it, we have tremendous influence. If there were a handful of people who were make this similar radical commitment, it would totally transform this church and this community. And so I plead with you to consider the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider that he died for you, for your sins, all the rebellion that you've ever committed, that he was buried, and that God raised him on the third day, and even now he sits at the Father's right hand, and he commands everyone everywhere to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins in order that you might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to rise to newness of life and then to live this crucified life, to live this life that we read about in the book of Acts. If this is your desire, I would urge and I would plead with you to come forward this morning. If you have any other needs, if you need the prayers of the church, please come forward as we stand and sing our invitational song.
Christ will meet you there. He is the King of all you. In your heart of joys, be within your head, and be my love.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessing for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.